Okay, so we're starting the first Bracha Shmoneh Esrei. We'll go through this week by week. So the first Bracha is Avos. We know we start, though, with a little introduction. Hashem Sivasai Tiftach Ufiyagati Losecha. And with trepidation, we begin. It is imperative that there be no interruption between the Bracha of Gal Yisrael and the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. Then how are we able to reconcile this interruption and say this pasuk of Hashem Sivasai Tiftach? And Rabbi Chil Sparrow explains that Shmoneh Esrei is the epics of our davening. It is when we, at least figuratively, offer ourselves as a korban to Hashem, and we stand immobile in front of Him with our feet symbolically tied together as one. But there are many more similarities between Shmoneh Esrei and a korban. A korban ola requires three specific steps as it was brought. It needs hefshet, skinning, nituach, which is cutting into pieces, and call le'ishim, having it completely consumed by the fire. While bearing these three steps in mind, we begin reciting the opening phrase of Shmoneh Esrei. The first three words, Hashem Sivasai Tiftach, corresponds to the first requirement of Hefshet. During davening, we remove every vestige of ego, rendering ourselves powerless before Hashem. No longer are we capable of doing something, even opening our lips on our own. In the second part, we state, Ufiyagati Losecha. This is in accordance with the requirement of Nituach, symbolizing that we stand humbly before Hashem with broken hearts as we beseech Him for our needs. And as we begin Shmoneh Esrei, we bow down, indicating that we're ready to daven with hislavos, a zeal, a fervor, a passion, and to allow ourselves to be completely consumed in our davening. And this corresponds to the complete burning of the korban ola. Rav Shimshon Pinkus tells us that when one enters into a melech basav adam, he should be struck mute. And I don't know if I have this story exactly right, but there once was a farmer who saved the daughter of the Tsar. And the Tsar wanted to reward him, and he called him in to ask him what he wanted for his reward. And the farmer could not open his mouth. And therefore, so too, when man so frail and insignificant stands before Hashem, we should be struck silent with the same awe. Therefore, we must appeal for divine assistance to open our mouths and to endow it with the ability to declare Hashem's praises. Rav Shimshon Pinkus gives another reason for this little pasuk and says, the idea of tefillah is that we need to ask Hashem, who's the source of everything, for health, parnasa, kibbutz golios, for all our needs. However, sometimes we forget and think we received what we asked for due to our tefillah, that we davened so well, we were really focused, had proper kavanah. And we start to feel our successes are our own, kochi v'otzim yadi. Therefore, we preface Shmoneh Esrei that even our ability to speak, to daven, is all only from you, Hashem. We have nothing, no abilities without you. And Rav Rudiman tells us that we should never take our gift of speech for granted. He says human speech is no less a miracle than the speech of Bilam's donkey. And we need to regard every utterance as a renewal of Hashem's blessing of verbal communication for making us a ruach memalala, a creature of speech. And Rav Shimon Schwab explains that this pasuk is not considered a hefsek between gula and tefillah, since the Chachamim instituted it to become part of the tefillah, it becomes ketefillah arichta, that it's actually just an addition, it's part of the actual tefillah. And then we start Shmoneh Esrei. We say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The simple translation is, blessed are you, Hashem. And the Nefesh HaChayim tells us that Baruch does not mean blessed, as Hashem does not need our blessing. Rather, the most precise connotation is to increase, is to intensify from the word of Brecha, from a spring. And what we're saying is that Hashem's name should increase and should become complete. The Derech HaChaim explains that we're saying you're the Makar HaBrachos, you're the source of all brachos. And Rav Avigdor Miller says that the word Baruch really comes from the word Berech, from the word knee. And we're saying that I kneel, meaning I humble myself before you, Hashem. We're like an Eved coming before his master. We're humble. And as we mentioned last week, we get rid of that Ani, we get rid of ourselves. The Dovr Sholem says that first we call Him our God because we're obligated to serve and know Him to our fullest capacity. But there's more about His ways that we cannot understand. And in response to this lack of clarity, we proclaim that He's the Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, We have complete faith in the tradition that they have transmitted to us. And the Mechilta tells us that the language of this bracha, its origin comes from the Torah itself. As it says, Minayin she'omrim baruch et Hashem elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu v'lokei Avram v'lokei Yitzhak v'lokei Yaakov. She'nemar, as it says, V'yomar od elokim Moshe, kosoma al b'nei Yisrael, Hashem v'lokei avoseichem, v'lokei Avraham v'lokei Yitzhak v'lokei Yaakov shalachani aleichem, zeshmi l'olam zichri l'dar v'dar. And Rav Shimon Schwab points out that we do not mention the words Melech Olam in this bracha, which seems to place it in non-compliance with the generally accepted rule of brachos that says Kol bracha she'ein bo malchus ein a bracha. Any bracha that we don't say the words Melech Olam in is not a bracha. However, notwithstanding the missing Melech Olam, this bracha is nevertheless in full compliance with the requirement of mentioning Malchus Hashem. And this is because we address Hashem by saying, okay, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And we thereby decree that he's the Melech HaOlam, because our Avos recognize Hashem as the Melech HaOlam. However, there are three aspects of Malchus Shemayim, and each one of the Avos emphasize one of them in their lives. Abraham spread the knowledge of Hashem in the world. Yitzchak emphasized the recognition of Hashem as his own personal Melech. And Yaakov emphasized the full and unequivocal acceptance of Malchus Shemayim amongst Klal Yisrael, and then through that, he becomes recognized throughout the world. And these three different viewpoints are all complementary. Our Avos, in each one in his own specialized approach, spread the concept of totality of Malchus Shemayim throughout the world. And therefore, in summary, the Birchus Avos is very much in compliance with the rule requiring the Malchus in our Brachos, because it contains Elkei Avraham, which is saying he's the Melech Al Ha'olam. Elkei Yitzchak, he's the Melech Al Ha'yochid. And Elkei Yaakov, meaning he's the Melech Al Klal Yisrael. We then continue and say Hakel. Hashem is not bound by his Midos, and therefore his power transcends even his own attributes. The name Kel, although it connotes power, nevertheless expresses Midos HaRachamim. Hagadol, great, here refers to his abundant kindness, which is symbolized by Avraham. We serve Hashem in love, as did Avraham Oavi. Hagibar, we serve Hashem in fear of his power, as Pachad Yitzchak. Vahanora, this is a combination of the Gadol and the Gibar. Emulating Yaakov, we serve Hashem with a combination of love and fear, of the Chesed and the Gevura, which is the Midah of Tferes, the Midah of Emes. Kel Elyon, none of his creations can conceive him. While we have some understanding of the underlying concepts of Gadol, Gibar, Nora, the human mind cannot comprehend the essence of Hashem or his conduct of world affairs. All attempts to do so is futile. Gomel Chasadim Tovim, the very same Kel Elyon whose seemingly harsh judgment is beyond our comprehension, is also the source of constant good kindness to his creations. Chasadim, the word alone, means to benefit only the recipient, but Chasadim Tovim describes a kindness with which the recipients can benefit others. V'kone hakol, every day of our lives we are the beneficiaries of multitudinous benefits and kindness bestowed upon us by Hashem, which sustain us. Every second of our lives is filled with these favors. From the moment we awaken in the morning, we are beneficiaries of the gifts of Hashem. We can see, we can hear, we can move, we can walk, think, our bodily functions work. We do not have the means to adequately express our gratitude to Hashem for even one of these favors. As we say in Nishmas, Ilu filu, finu, mole shira kayom, ein anachnu maspikim, lahodus lecha Hashem olkeinu, al achas me olef elef alfe alofim, verive revavos pa'amim hatovos shasisim avosein avimanu. That even if our mouths was as big as the it can be full of shira like an ocean, we don't have the ability to thank Hashem for even one of the thousands upon thousands of tovos that he's done with us and our forefathers. The words of Akone Akol express the same idea. Since we are at a loss to adequately express our gratitude to Hashem, we declare, we have nothing to offer to you, for you own everything. We are therefore your servants. V'zocher chaste avos, chesed here is used in the sense of the schus avos, the reward that our forefathers earned. And it's this reward that Hashem remembers when he blesses us as their beneficiaries. Umevi goel livnei v'nehem, this means us. This is expressed in the present tense because the Geula does not happen all at once, but rather it's an ongoing process which culminates with the Bias HaMashiach, which Be'ezr Hashem will come any day as quickly as possible. L'man Shemo Bi'ahava, One of the names of Hashem is Goel Yisrael, because He promised us that He would eventually redeem us. And this redemption will come, even if we don't deserve it, purely out of the love of Hashem for Bnei Yisrael. During the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we added this point, Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech Chafetz B'chaim, V'chasveinu B'sefer HaChaim, L'ma'ancha Elokim Chaim, and this means that we're asking Hashem to let us live, to actually witness the occurrence of the Umei V'Goyal of Nei V'Nehem. Melech Ozer U'Moshia U'Mogein. Here we have the first use of Melech in Shemona Esrei. We recognize Hashem first as a Melech, the King, who's our Redeemer. We then describe Him as Ozer, who helps us. This means that when we make an effort to make ourselves worthy of the Gula, He helps us in this effort. However, there are times when we, as a nation, make no or very little effort to make ourselves worthy of being redeemed. And it is those times that we refer to Hashem as the Moshiach, the Savior. He saves us even when we are helpless and have made no effort toward deserving our Geula. And Mogein means that Hashem protects us during the Golos from the evil which our enemies plan for our destruction. And during the end of the Golos, at the time before the coming of Mashiach, the Ikvus of the Mashicha, our Chachamim tell us that the conditions will exist that will make this the darkest epoch of the Golos. And the Golos will never have been as dark as during the time immediately before the break of the dawn of Mashiach. Interestingly, the word shachar, morning, has the same letters as shachar, black, because it is just before the break of dawn that the night is at its blackest. And some of the Chachamim dreaded this period to the extent that they expressed the wish, Yesi v'lo achamine. It's my hope the Mashiach will come, but I do not want to see Him. They did not want to witness the Chilul Hashem and the spread of Kfira throughout the world, which our Chachamim have predicted will exist during the times just before the coming of Mashiach. And we live in a world in which there is this threat, not only on our physical annihilation, as in Eretz Yisrael and throughout the world, but also of our spiritual destruction. And the destruction that our Chachamim have given for the time immediately before the coming of Mashiach, in which the world would be filled with the darkness of immorality and apostasy, seems to be the world that we are living in now. And from the highest echelons of government to the lowest level of human society, the world lacks moral values. These people believe in nothing. Les din v'les dayan. There's no moral law and there's no supreme judge. When Hashem brings about our final redemption, it will be possible only because Hashem protected us physically as well as spiritually throughout the long gullus night in which immorality is rampant. It is in this world of immorality where we need the help of Hashem as our Ozer U'Moshia U'Mogein. And then we end the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham. When we started this bracha, we mentioned all the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to invoke their names and their intimate relationships with Hashem to help put us in good graces with Hashem. We now end the bracha with Mogein Avraham. And Rabbi Chiel Sparrow asks, firstly, why do we only mention Avraham? And secondly, why do we refer to Hashem here as Mogein Avraham and not the Elokei Avraham as we did earlier? And he brings a Chidushi Harim who explains that we need to understand what or whom is Hashem shielding or protecting. And he says some explain He's protecting Klal Yisrael. And he says if that's the case, it should have said Mogein Yisrael, why only Avraham? And the Chidushi Harim explains that Hashem's protecting the spark of faith, the Pintel Yid, that's inside each and every Jew. This spark is what Avraham discovered when he was a young child. And this is what Hashem is protecting. No matter how far we stray, Hashem protects our inner spark that is never extinguished. It is deep inside, perhaps deeper than we realize. It is our very core, it is our Emunah. Our Chachamim have instituted that we are to bow down at the beginning and the end of this bracha. And Shimon Schwab says the fact that we are to bow at the beginning and at the end of this bracha indicate that each of these acts of bowing must express a slightly different meaning than the other one. And he says the bowing at the beginning expresses the thought that we accept Hashem as the Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. We accept Him as our God because our forefathers recognized Hashem and accepted Him as their God. And this recognition and belief in Him was handed down to us by our parents who received it from their parents all the way back to the Avos. To us, Hashem's the same Elokeinu He was to our forefathers, the Elokei Avoseinu. However, the bowing at the end of the bracha expresses the thought that there are some people who do not have an unbroken chain of a relationship with Hashem through their ancestors. And when they say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, they do not mean their immediate ancestors. because they have to work out their own relationship with Hashem, just as Avraham Avinu had to discover Hashem by himself. And once Avraham recognized the existence of Hashem, he had the courage and the wisdom, the emunah, to firmly resist the negative influences of his parents, his grandparents, and the world who attempted to shake him from his conviction that there was one Hashem, the Creator. So when we bow down while saying Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogen Avraham, we thank Hashem especially for protecting and strengthening those of our people who, just like Avraham, have had to discover Hashem themselves without the benefit of an attachment to the tradition of their immediate forebears. And Rav Schwab says that in truth this applies to everyone today, that when bowing Mogen Avraham, we thank him for protecting us against the onslaught and pressures of the powerful influences of the world filled with the kfirah that surrounds us, which could have a devastating effect on our emunah and betachon in Hashem. And just to close then, so we know these first three brachos are considered one unit, and therefore, if one makes a substitutional mistake in their wording, he's required to start again from the beginning of the first bracha, because avos, gevuros, and kedusha are all considered one unit. And this opening bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is so important that if one does not have kavana while saying it, he must repeat it. And the Ramah tells us that today we do not do so, since we're unsure if we will have kavana the second time. And Rav Chaim Friedlander and Sif Seichayim and Rav Shimshon Pinkus say similarly that the uniqueness of this bracha is that it sets the tone for the rest of Shemoneh Esrei, and it defines our relationship with Hashem. And as we stand at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, we state clearly something that the Avos knew, that we are lacking, that Hashem has created us and provides for us, that He's the Gomel Chasadim Tovim and the Kone Hakol, and that only He can provide us with what we truly need. And Rabbi Chil Spero ends that Avraham Avinu discovered that Hashem has a personal relationship with each of us, and that each of us has a special relationship with Him. And Hashem cherishes this relationship. He protects it and guards it. And it's an important concept to keep in mind as we begin Shemoneh Esrei. And to just close with the story and then with the homework. So it's a story that was brought in the Hamodia. There was a man who lived in Eretz Yisrael who was not very observant. And he struggled making a living through his store. And the store was a 20-minute drive from his home. And occasionally during the day, he had to pick up merchandise, make some deliveries. So he relied heavily on his car. One morning, on his way to work, another driver ran a stop sign and crashed into his car at high speed. He was all right, but the car was wrecked. He got out of the car and started shouting at the woman who caused the accident. The man asked her for information, and she broke down in tears. "I don't have insurance," she said, "and I can't afford anything. Please just let me go. I'm a struggling woman. I have no one to help me." Her cry softened his heart, and so he let her go. She thanked him and pulled away. He then realized that he was now stuck without a car. He had no way of getting to and from his store or making deliveries and pickups, and he did not have the money to repair his car. Suddenly, in this moment of desperation, he turned to prayer. With his heart, he turned to Hashem and said, "God, I heard that woman's cries and accepted her plea. Please hear my cries and accept my plea. Give me a livelihood so I can pay my bills, fix my car, and get back on my feet." He then walked into a nearby convenience store and bought a lottery ticket for that day's drawing. He won 1,000,000 shekels. He prayed from the depths of his heart with sincere feeling and emotion, and he was immediately answered. Sometimes we see results immediately, whereas on other occasions it takes time. But each and every tefillah has an impact, and this is something we need to remember every time we daven. And we have to keep that in mind as we, especially as you go into a Shemoneh Esrei, that Hashem is always listening to us, and we may not always see the answers, we may not always be able to connect the dots on an instant. There are times that we're able to connect it over time. There are times we may never be able to connect it. Acher may have esrim. But that every tefillah, there's something going on. There is an impact that takes place. And we should never give up hope, whether we're davening for a chola, for parnosa, or as we sit on Zayinov and are davening for Mashiach to come, that ability that Hashem can answer us at any moment, immediately, or again, even in a delay, the answers always come. And sometimes we're able to see it, sometimes we may not, but Hashem is always there listening, and we have to take that into a Shemoneh Esrei, and not just say, I have to daven 3 times a day, I do it, but that it's real, and that Hashem is giving us that one-on-one attention during the Shemoneh Esrei, and if we realize what we're saying, and understand what we're doing, and understand the relationship that He has with us, and that we have with Him, that no matter what goes on, He's taking care of us, and connecting the dots in our lives that need to be connected, then our tefillos will be able to accomplish things, and we'll be able to feel that, yes, it's Hashem who's doing for us, it's not kochi votzim yadi, but that there's a connection and a relationship that we have through our tefillah with Hashem. And the homework, obviously, is at least once over this next week, where you have so many Shemona Esreis, to at least try to focus once on this first bracha, on some of the additional aspects of what we've brought, other than the regular kavana one's supposed to have on a daily basis.